Today on State Street, we're talking with Democratic candidate for Congress, Liban Mohammed. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell. Now, Utah's got a new, very blue, first congressional district in northern Salt Lake County. And if you're a Democrat in this district, your primary ballot is going to be crowded.
This is the first time in a long time Democrats in Utah have had this kind of opportunity at the federal level after the state's redistricting saga.
So we sat down with each candidate and asked them the same six questions so you can hear where they stand on some of the issues that you care about. Please note, these interviews have been edited for length and clarity, and we're releasing them in alphabetical order by candidate last name. So for our final conversation, here's Liban Mohammed.
Liban Mohammed is one of the primary candidates in CD1. He was the surprise winner of April's Democratic nominating convention, guaranteeing himself a spot on the primary ballot. He also gathered enough signatures to get there, too. Now, Hugo, I was at the convention, and I gotta say, the amount of support he had in the room, it was electric. His speech that afternoon got people on their feet. Some of the loudest cheers of the day, for sure. But Mohammed is an unknown in Utah politics. He's 27, a Utah native, has experience working in big tech, and is the son of Somali immigrants.
We took turns interviewing the candidates, and Sean spoke with Liban Mohammed.
Liban Mohammed, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
So what are you bringing to Congress that is different than what we're getting right now?
For too long, Utahns feel like they've been left out of this process and don't have a leader that's really fighting for them and their everyday tangible issues. So what I'm going to bring to Congress is a new generation of leadership that's focused on the everyday issues that we're all facing. That means healthcare is a human right at a cheaper price. That means fighting for the everyday Utahn who works day in and day out to be able to afford the roof over their heads. That means to make sure that our parents don't have to choose between their paycheck and the well-being of their child. Somebody who's focused on tangible outcomes and making a difference.
This is a Democratic primary, but within the party, we do see a pretty wide range of views from what some people may say center-left to very, very progressive. How would you describe your politics on that spectrum?
I think the left and right politics dynamic is not an accurate depiction of the way that I like to try to carry myself. What you can count on me to be is a leader that's going to fight for healthcare as a human right, Medicare for all, make sure that we take on these large corporations who are buying up neighborhoods in bulk and make sure that we can afford to be able to achieve that American dream, childcare, paid parental leave. So these are the types of things that I'm really focused on and want to make sure that I'm fighting for Utahns by it. The politics and all of that is not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is tangible policy proposals that make that difference. And so, yes, some people might say that's a little bit left, but what I like to describe it as is focusing on leading, not performance.
If you win in November, win the primary, win in November, you will very likely be the only Democrat in the Utah congressional delegation. How are you going to work with your fellow Utah representatives in Washington, whether it's your fellow House representatives or Senator Lee and Senator Curtis?
These different leaders who have very different political ideologies than myself, at the end of the day, they're leaders who are elected to serve our community. And I will work with whoever it may be to make sure that we get things done and make a difference. I'm not interested in political performance. I'm interested in changing our everyday lives and tackling this affordability crisis. People like Senator Mike Lee, especially when it comes to immigration issues, we disagree greatly, but I will still sit down with him, have that conversation about why we need to abolish ICE and build an immigration system that's rooted in our shared humanity. I'm going to be that leader that makes sure that I'm not necessarily tweeting online, but I'm going to sit down and have the conversations that it requires to get the votes and make a difference.
Let's talk about AI for a moment. How do you want to shape policy around this fast-growing technology?
So when elected to Congress, I'll be the only person with big tech experience and best suited to hold them accountable. Look, one of the most difficult issues that we're going to be facing, not only in the present, but in the future, is this innovation, AI, tech, big tech, and how to tackle it. How do we realize the benefits of innovation while making sure that our communities are not being exploited, our environments are not being taken advantage of? people are not losing their jobs. Rather, it's used in a way to make them earn jobs. And the way that I want to do that is this. For environment, that means prohibiting data centers in water-stressed areas, which Utah is. The Box Elder County data center that they're proposing right now by that celebrity, TV celebrity, Kevin O'Leary, $30 billion project, 9 gigawatts of power, increases our carbon emissions by 50%. That does not belong in Utah when the Great Salt Lake is drying up. So prohibitions on data centers in water-stressed areas, 100% renewable requirements, energy requirements, water-neutral requirements, and ensure that we have cost causation rules. If we have to build new substations and transmission lines, if they cause it, they pay for it. It should not be passed to the ordinary residents. And then the bigger bucket things, taking off social media, making sure that we're protecting our children online, protecting our privacy. These are the core bucket areas that I'm really going to be focused on and have the experience to ask the right questions and get things done.
Utah is facing many environmental challenges right now. We're in a drought. Water is scarce. Air quality can be very poor here. What are some of your priorities when it comes to environmental policy?
Yeah, so number one, prohibiting hyperscale data center development here. Sure, we might need to focus on how to have this critical infrastructure in a way that allows us to realize the benefits of innovation, but that should not be in water-stressed areas like Utah. We are in a drought. The Great Salt Lake is drying up, causing what is an imminent public health crisis. And the way that we're going to do that is this address this with data centers. The next thing, make sure that we reform our water rights policies and make sure that they're sound. They address what people need, not what they can use, per se. If we do that, I think it'll make a big, big difference. And the most important thing, we need not only a one-time funding appropriation from Congress to save the Great Salt Lake, but we need ongoing funding and a mandate to save the Great Salt Lake and make sure that we're addressing our environmental crises with the tangible things that we can do as human beings.
Let's turn to the economy. Housing costs are high, fuel is up. Everything seems expensive when you head to the store. What is the first thing you would do to address cost of living here in Utah?
The first thing I want to do is not a policy in itself, but it's a focus. A focus on American diplomacy abroad and our own dignity at home and ensuring that our funding, our appropriations, the way we spend our funds is focused on us, not focused on spewing conflicts around the world. And this is, there's nothing that can address our energy prices more than this. There's nothing that can address the way that we are investing in our institutions more than this. And that is a fundamental focus that I'm going to have to address the economic crisis that we have right now, in addition to fighting for healthcare as a human right, paid parental leave, and ensuring that we get these large corporations out of competing with the ordinary person for the housing.
Levan Mohammed, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is amazing.
That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. You can listen to all of the District 1 candidates' interviews wherever you get your podcasts. And a quick reminder for all you voters, primary day is June 23rd.
Utah Democrats hold an open primary, and that means anyone in the 1st Congressional District can vote in this race. But only registered Democrats will automatically get that ballot. If you aren't a registered Democrat and want to participate, you need to request the ballot from your county clerk by June 16.
State Street only happens because of our team. Jim Hill does all things digital, and Alexis Rausch did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production here at State Street, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark helps edit.
Caroline Ballard is our executive producer, and that means she's the wizard behind the curtain pulling all the strings.
Happy voting.
From KUER.